Welcome to Revenue Chat, eSelfie Taylor on how to get better at finding your customers and closing them. eSelfie is founder of the Taylor Method, a sales training system that is in four parts, taking you from the approach all the way to the close. eSelfie will provide sales methodology to help you become better at finding your customers and getting the sale. Next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat, brought to you by the book, Easy Sales Procedures. With us, we have eSelfie Taylor, founder of the Taylor Method, top-ranked financial advisor, agent, broker, entrepreneur, and keynote speaker. He's all about giving people the information to make educated decisions. He's accomplished a great deal in his career, but feels he's just getting started as he wants to make a huge impact in the lives of millions when all is said and done. With over 13 years of experience in the financial industry, his focus is on building relationships, educating clients, and providing custom solutions that have allowed him to become one of the top advisors in the industry. Advisor Today magazine named eSelfie one of the top four advisors under 40 this year. He was most recently selected to speak at the Million Dollar Roundtable Conference in Louisiana. He's featured in a host of media such as Authority Press Wire, Business Newsmakers Radio, The Street, Fiduciary News, and Advisor Today, among others. He's founder of the Taylor Method, a sales training system that is in four parts, taking you from the approach all the way to the close. And he's writing his first book with a very befitting title, Rise to the Top. All right. Get ready for eSelfie to provide his sales methodology and help you become better at finding your customers and getting the sale. Hello, eSelfie. How are you?
Hello. Hello. How are you doing today, Tony?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Revenue Chat. It's great to have you.
Yeah, I'm very happy and excited to be here and sharing some insights with the listeners today.
Awesome. eSelfie, I mentioned a little bit about you, and perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots and how you became an expert in this field. So please, would you let us know, how did it all start for you?
Yeah, sure. It's interesting. I graduated, or upon graduating college, I had aspirations no different than a lot of other people. You know, at 22 years old, it was my goal to be a millionaire by the time I was 25, right? So I figured 3 years was ample time, you know, to get there, and I was on my way. The problem was, I had no clue on how to get there, right? I had no mentor. I had no direction. I didn't know what industry I could go into or had any clue on how to make $1 million. And so I figured I needed some insights, right? And so I was fortunate enough to meet a gentleman in the community that I went to school in, and I asked him. I said, "Hey, can you take me to lunch, right? I just want to sit down with you and pick your brain a little bit and figure out how I can, you know, be successful and have a big impact in my life and the people's lives that I'm around, right?" So he said, "Sure, no problem." So we get together, we go to lunch, and, you know, I'm going through kind of my insights and my ideas for life. And he says, "You know what?" He goes, "Man, you're something special." You know, he goes, "You know what? I think if you work hard for 30, 40 years, you're going to be someone," right? So I said, "Oh, no. Check, please." Right? It was just, I couldn't fathom, right, at 22 years old being told, you know, that I had to work hard for 30, 40 years. It just didn't resonate for me, right? You know, by chance, I made my way into the, you know, financial services industry as an advisor at 22 years old. And what drew me into the business is I loved the fact that I was paid not on my age or my tenure, but I was paid based on my aptitude and my work, right? And I loved it. And so, you know, started again 22 years old and, you know, did a little bit better, you know, each year in the business. And now, you know, coming up on my 15th year, you know, in this industry, I don't have 1 year that I haven't done better than a year before.
That's fantastic. Wow. Wow. So you are the creator of a method. You've founded the Taylor Method that takes care of the approach, the sale, and so forth. What is this method, please?
Yeah, quite simply, the Taylor Method is the culmination of my career's triumphs and failures, right? I mean, I like to say I think I failed in this business every way you can, once, right? Because I failed and I learned from it and I got a little bit better. The Taylor method, like you mentioned at the onset of the call, is basically broken into four parts. Number one is the approach, right? What do I say to get in front of people? Number two, we have the fact finding. When I'm in front of them, what questions do I ask to get them to open up and share with me? Number three is the opportunity. Within the way they've answered those questions, where's the opportunity for the sale? And then lastly, number four, we have the close, the call to action. What do I say to get clients to write checks and move and do something, right? And so, I think the sales process in general, I think we make business and sales a lot harder than it needs to be. Right, I think the business is hard enough on its own. It's this interesting idea, Tony. I say this all the time. If you ask people what they want, they will tell you, and when you give it to them, they will buy. Right? It seems like a pretty simple concept. Like, yeah, it's not rocket science, Sophie. That makes perfect sense to me. And it should. Unfortunately, far too many people lead with product and don't focus on selling problems. And so what the Taylor method really teaches you to do is engage with your client, build relationships, get them to open up, and once they've opened up and tell you, hey, I'm here, I'm at step A, and I want to be B at step B, how can I get there? And you help them formulate a plan of attack. I mean, again, it's not a matter of if they're going to buy, it's really a matter of how much and when.
I like it. You make it so simple. I absolutely like it. Can we break down some of those pieces a little bit? For example, the approach. What
sure.
is your approach and what makes that unique and different? Please.
I think there's a number of ways that you can meet people, right? I mean, you have my practice is pretty much relegated by personal observation, and referrals, and networking. By personal observation, I mean, you know, I'm at the park with my kids, right? And my oldest daughter is playing in the swings or something, right? And there's other parents there, and I might jokingly bring my oldest daughter over and say, hey, her name's Naya. I'll come over and say, hey, Naya, come here. I'm like, go play with that kid. Her parents look like they have money. But I mean, I say that jokingly, but it's really just about commonality, right? My kids at the park, someone else's kids at the park. We have this common, you know, bond in a child and raising kids and activities and the like. And that's what I mean by personal observation. So whether it's, you know, doing activities with your kids, whether you like playing golf, whether you like, you know, playing bingo, it really doesn't matter. Anytime you're with people and creating relationships with people, you're working. Right, and if you can engage, it's like, think about this, right? Tony, what's your best friend's name? Best friend, what's his name?
My best friend's name?
Yes, yes.
My best friend, believe it or not, is my wife.
Best friend's your wife, okay?
My best friend, we've been together 23 years, and she's just quite an amazing pal. I mean, I have a ton of friends, but you asked for my best friend. I would say the next best friend is John.
John, okay. So let's say John calls you up and says, Tony, I just went to the best restaurant in town, great Italian food, you should go. What are you going to do?
Depends on how far away it is. And I would ask questions about the food and the ambiance and so forth.
Right, right. But at the end of the day, you're going to go, right? Because John is a trusted friend, right? You know he knows you. You know he knows what you like. And because he made the recommendation, you're not going to have the same trepidation as you would if a commercial popped up on TV or if you got a flyer in the mail, right? And that's kind of my point. When there's relationship there and there's trust, the angst and anxiety and objections that typically arise through the sales process aren't even present because there's trust there. And that's what I mean by relationship and building commonality with people. When people know, like, and trust you, that's half the battle. I don't care how good your service is. I don't care how good your product is. I don't care how smart you are. If people do not know, like, and trust you, you are not doing business. Right?
I absolutely agree.
That's the key component to the approach piece, right, is building this relationship. You know, building this relationship with people and having this spirit of of giving first. And that's another thing that I do. When I meet people, I don't say, give me this, give me that, I want this, I want that. I typically lead with, how can I help you? Right? You know, and this kind of leads me into one of the other key parts of the approach is networking, right? That's another key component of my practice, networking. Stop going to networking events with your handout and a card saying, here, I do this, buy this for me, I offer this service and the like. Lead with a spirit of servitude, right? Hey, how's it going? You know, what business are you in? How can I help you? What kind of clients are you looking for? What challenges exist in your business? Maybe I can help you overcome some of those things. Those are things that are going to separate you from any other person in the room, guaranteed. Because everyone else is saying, buy this, I do this, move this, you know, let's try this, right? And so very few people come from this spirit of giving first. And when you think about it, we're in the holiday season right now, right? Invariably, Tony, you could probably attest to this, in the next week, there's going to be someone who gives you a bottle of wine, a box of chocolates, a gift of some sort that you forgot about or that you didn't buy something for in turn, right? And if that happens, if I came to you and I bought you a box of chocolates for the holidays, what are you going to feel compelled to do?
Return something back to you.
Exactly. So when you have a spirit of giving, when you have a spirit of helping, what it does is it compels people to do that for you, right? And so it's interesting because the more you give, the more you help, the more you open up, the more you will see that return to you. Now, this isn't some, you know, I'm not being biblical or religious here. It's just kind of the spirit of mankind, I think, right? If someone
Absolutely.
Opens the door for you, you feel compelled to open the door for someone else. If someone, you know, helps you, you feel compelled to help them. It's that, I guess, that idea of paying it forward, I suppose. But that's the idea, right? And so I constantly, my goal every day is to say, how many people can I help today? How many lives can I improve today? And then what does that mean for me? I don't know. Will I make, you know, $100,000 today? Will I make $100 today? I have no idea. But I know one thing. I know that from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, I'm going to look to help people and engage and build relationships and look to do for other people which I would want done for me if the roles were reversed. And I think that spirit in general, you know, forget your product, you know, forget everything else. If you will do that, that's 90% of the, that's 90% of the battle.
I couldn't agree with you more, Selfie. That is absolutely, excuse me, the best way to tremendous success is to just give and give without expecting anything in return. And lo and behold, so much comes back. That's one of my most basic premises that I built my business and relationships on is what can I do for others? I totally, totally love it. That is the way to success. That is what I consider the key or the secret. That's awesome. That's
yeah.
Step one. Now that's step one. And then step two is, what's your step two again, please?
Step two is the fact find, right? This is super important here, and this really frames up the entire sale. So now that I have commonality, now that I have trust, now that you said, sure, I'll sit down with you, tell me about what you do, or how can you help me, now here's the key. This is the mistake most people make when they get to people. They go, wow, I booked an appointment. Now I have an opportunity to tell people how much I know, or now I have an opportunity to show my product or my service. Stop. Stop leading with product. Ask questions. I appreciate you taking the time to meet me today, Tony. How can I help you? Or what did you hope to get out of this time? Or what troubles you the most? Or what in the planning arena are keeps you up at night, right? And I'm letting the client's needs, I'm letting the client's issues, I'm letting the client's problems dictate the plan, right? And that's key. So when they say, oh, my goodness, I'm super concerned about retirement, right? You know, I want to retire in the next 10 years, and I watched what happened to my parents, and you know, they had to work through their 70s and never really had, you know, the extra money to travel and do things for us as kids and grandkids that they would have liked. I don't want that to happen to me, right? Oh, great. So now I know what their hot button is. See, everyone is moved by something. And it's human nature for us to stereotype and to assume when what we should do is stop and ask questions, right? And that's, like I said at the onset, sounds simple enough. But if you ask people what they want, they will tell you. And when you give it to them, they will buy. Sounds simple. Unfortunately, we just don't do it. We just lead with product. And sometimes you can be right, or sometimes you can create a compelling argument, but you will never be as efficient as you will be asking questions. So that's really just the fact-finding session. Step two, asking lots of questions of your clients or your prospects, finding out, one, A, where are they today, and then secondly, and more importantly, where they want to be in the future.
I love it. Makes perfect sense. Absolutely correct. Right on. Okay. And what, step three, let's take that apart a little bit more, please.
Yeah. So the opportunity. Now, here's the key. And this is where experience and ingenuity and creativity come into play. The opportunity is such that once someone answers these questions and they say, okay, Sophie, I'm here. I want to be here. Now where the opportunity comes, okay, where's my opportunity for the sale? Because they told me they were feeling this way, or because they said, they're not happy with their returns, or because they feel like they're taking too much risk, where's the sale? So, for example, I know everyone has, sells different products and services and the like, but for me being in financial services, I might say, where's an opportunity? So if I've done a good job in the fact-finding arena and find out, hey, Bob Smith has, $200,000 in a CD, right? Well, why? Right? I'm going to ask Bob, you have $200,000 in a CD, why? Well, I really want to grow money for my future, but I'm really averse to risk. And that's why I have the money in the bank and the CD. And Tony, I'm sure you're aware what CDs are. CDs at the bank, right? So I call them certificates of depreciation, right?
Oh.
you're not earning a rate of return high enough to even hedge inflation, right? So
that's right.
You have a CD at the bank. So when I see this from the client, I might say, okay, Mr. Smith, so you have $100,000 or $200,000 on a CD at the bank. Why? Well, I'm averse to risk and I'd love to get, a return on my money. I just can't stomach the market. I just don't like it. So here's where then boom, number three, the opportunity. So let me ask you a question, Mr. Smith. What would you rather have? Would you rather have taxable growth of your money or tax deferred growth? Now, as you know, CDs in the bank are taxed, right? Whether you need the interest that you earn or not, it's taxed. So not only are you earning maybe less than 1%, you have to pay taxes on that money even if you don't need it, right? So I'm going to ask, would you want tax? You want taxable growth or tax deferred? Well, heck, I guess I'd prefer tax deferred, right? I'd love for my income to grow deferred and not have to pay taxes on it, especially if I don't need it. That makes sense. And what would you rather have? Would you rather have 1% fixed return on your money or 3%? Well, I'd rather have 3%, right? Precisely. And so for me, seeing opportunities, asking questions, understanding, okay, what they have, understanding the returns, understanding why they're doing it, and that's the big thing, the why, right? That's where the opportunities come about. So that kind of leads me to number four, the close. And the close is almost at this point, as you can see by my process, a foregone conclusion. The relationship and trust is there. I ask questions so I understand where you're at. I've seen now the opportunities to help you, and now I'm simply giving you the solution. That's why, again, in my mind, it's not a matter of if you're going to buy. It's a matter of how much and when.
I love it. That's quite right.
So the close, Tony, is really predicated not so much on what I think and what I say. It's just a series of questions. I tend to ask, what you saw in that illustration, a lot of either-or questions. Would you rather have this or that? Would you rather have this or that? If you had to give something up, what would it be? Because at the end of the day, there's no perfect product. There's no perfect plan. I don't believe in it. But my job isn't to sell my clients any perfect instrument that I don't believe won't exist. I simply have to be better than what they have, right? So once I understand what they have and I can provide solutions or fill gaps that exist, again, why wouldn't they do it?
I love it. Excellent. Really good points here, eSelfie. I like it. Let's talk a little bit more about the close. And the close is in several parts. So you've touched a little bit upon the basic part, and that is just providing the person what they want and giving them and showing them that what you have is an answer to their questions of what they're looking for, what they need. Now, does the person who does the closing, you say that there's vital attributes that person has to possess?
Yeah, I think number one, there has to be a genuine spirit to help, right? I mean, we're an intuitive breed of people, right? I think if you're in it for yourself, if you're in it to make a dollar, you know, and not truly help people, then I think that comes across. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're all in business. You know, we all need to make and want to make money. But at the end of the day, when my compensation or the value to me now begins to outweigh the value to the client, you just can't go beyond that point, right? You got to say, I'm here for the client first. I'm here to serve you first. And so that spirit of giving, that spirit of helping and genuine care for the people that you serve, I think is paramount. I think the other thing is you got to have thick skin, right? I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I think I failed in this business every way you can fail, right? You know, and anyone who's in a sales position can appreciate the fact. I don't know that your wife gets it. I don't know that your husband gets it. I don't know that your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your siblings or your friends get it. I mean, you know, I draw the analogy. I mean, this business is like getting kicked in the face every day, right? Multiple times a day, right? And it stings a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's all a numbers game, right? So part of it is making sure that you have enough what I would call qualified at-bats, right? I consider myself, and many of my peers in the industry consider me to be one of the top advisors in the country. But if I had 2 or 3 meetings a week, I would probably struggle in this business simply because I just don't have enough opportunities to convert sales. But when I have 2 or 3 meetings a day, I have a pretty good chance that I'm going to close 2-3 deals a week, right? Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I have a pretty good chance. And so a lot of it comes down to these attributes, right? But having a lot of activity is key too, right? You want to have a ton of activity. I liken it to baseball, right? A baseball player, right, that bats 300, right, that's 300, is considered an all-star, right? But in actuality, what does that really mean? That means every 10 times they were up to bat, they struck out or grounded out or flew out 7 times. That means 70% of the time they failed. They're considered an all-star. Right, and in sales in general, it's that kind of a deal. You're gonna get stung. You're gonna fail. You're gonna fall on your face far more often than you hit home runs. Right, but that resiliency and activity can still, you know, produce, you know, quite favorable fruit. Right.
Absolutely, that is quite right. To only hit the ball 2 to 3 times out of 10 doesn't seem very good, yet those are excellent statistics.
Right.
So totally. You have to go through a lot. You have to go through a lot sometimes to succeed, and that is what I believe success is all about. We're going to cover that in just a little bit later on some of these points. We're going to go over a little bit more of them. Those are very excellent. E-Selfie, do you teach this? Do you have a course or – How can one prescribe to your program, please?
Yeah, so the Taylor Method is an online tool, right? So it's basically a subscription model where subscribers would go online, they would pay a fee, whether it be monthly or annually, and they get access to me, right? How great would it be to hear me 24 hours a day? My wife would say it's probably too much, but but nonetheless, my subscribers have the opportunity to hear me, and not only me, but I bring in other experts and advanced, you know, planning consultants and professionals and the like to provide their insights, because I tell people all the time, I know a lot about a little bit, and it's all about collaboration and bringing ideas and talented people together. And that's what I do with the Taylor Method via videos, audio, webcasts, seminar series and the like. And so it's these principles, I think, of sales that permeate across every industry. The product you sell is irrelevant, right? It doesn't matter whether it's life insurance, it doesn't matter whether it's cars, it doesn't matter whether it's technology. These ideas that I'm sharing would make someone successful in any field.
Very cool. What is that website, please?
The website is thetaylormethod.com. All spelled out, thetaylormethod.com. And you can find us on Facebook at The Taylor Method and Twitter at The Taylor Method as well.
Fabulous, fabulous. I like that. And any other advices or tips that you could give our listeners to help improve their sales abilities and proficiency?
Yeah, I would say just general mindset stuff, right? Don't get too high on the highs. Don't get too low on the lows, right? Stay the course. You know, for me and my practice, I make it a goal to to book an appointment with three brand new people a day. Because when you really think about it, Tony, in the sales process, the only thing I control is how many people I'm in front of. I don't control who buys today. I don't control who buys next week. I don't control who buys next month. I don't control the interest rate environment. I don't control the real estate market. I don't control, you know, I don't control taxes. None of that, right? I wish I did, but I don't, right? So the only thing I control is my activity. And that's what I would tell people. You know, a piece of advice is focus on the areas that you control, nothing else, right? Because, again, we could be paralyzed worrying about things that we have absolutely no influence over. So focus on the things you control, I would say that. And then, you know, become a master of your craft, right? Know what you do, know your products, know your services inside out, understand what the value proposition, and also understand where the vulnerabilities are. And for me, I like to tell people where the vulnerabilities are in my products. I like to tell people the things that they should be concerned with because I don't want my competition to do it, right? So I'm going to tell people, look, these are the three or four things that I do really well, right? And here's a couple areas of vulnerability, right? But I want, with full transparency, I think people like that. When you sell stuff that's quote unquote too good to be true, or you don't divulge, frailties to people, I think there's a lack of genuineness there and trust, right? But when you tell people, hey, I'm the best in these areas and here I'm not so good, and if you need these things, I'm your guy, and if not, you know, no love lost to you, right? I think people really, you know, really appreciate that, right? And so that's super important is just being transparent, right? Because depending on what you're doing, like for me, I sell an intangible product, right? I don't sell cars. I don't sell homes. So at least in those respects, you know, people can show them off, right? I'm selling ideas. I'm selling peace of mind, right? So people are really, they're buying me. They're buying our relationship and trust. So it's paramount, especially if you're selling services and intangible goods like I do, that you know, people trust you, right? Your character has to be beyond reproach, right? Because the second you stop trusting me, the second that you say, you know, I question what this guy is saying, I'm done.
So true. Good points. Very cool. I like them, Eselfi. Thank you so much for sharing all that. That's very cool.
No worries.
Now, on my show, I've added a little addition to the end, near the second half of my show. I'm innovating, and what I've done is I've pulled five inspirational quotes from famous people about sales and success, and I'd like to read these out and have your comments about them, okay? Are we connected? Did we get disconnected?
Go ahead. I'm all in.
Oh, good. I didn't hear you. Okay, great. So here's some quotes from famous people, and we'll just have some fun and chat about them. First one is Winston Churchill says, success is walking from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think like that goes kind of back to my point, don't get too high on the highs, don't get too low on the lows. I think, you know, to that end, I would add, I want no, right? I love hearing no, because the more no's I hear, it means the closer I'm getting to a yes, right? There's that adage I like to say, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So as long as you're in the game, as long as you're seeing enough people, by default, you know, something positive will happen.
Very interesting. Very cool. All right. Next quote is from the very famous salesman, Zig Ziglar, who said, timid salesmen have skinny kids.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're in sales, especially if you're 100% commission, you know, you eat what you kill. Right, and if you're skinny, that means you're probably not killing a lot, right? And so, some people look at it as a con, right? Like, oh my gosh, how I couldn't do it. I couldn't just live on commission. I'll tell you what. You know what's scary to me, Tony? Scary to me is having someone else dictate how much I make. Scary to me is having someone else come in my office and telling me, you know what, you're not needed here anymore. You can go. So for me, I love the fact that I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I love it because again, like I mentioned earlier, my work ethic, my attitude, my ability to get out there dictates what I get, right? And so it's a blessing and a curse, I suppose. But you know, I'm making the most of it.
Very cool. Very absolutely cool. We have to keep going out there. If you are the type to sell something, then you have to keep going out there. And the only way that you're going to succeed if you're in sales is to keep at it. There is no other way. And if you're very timid, yeah, your kids are going to be skinny and perhaps you should go get some other kind of work. All right. The next quote is W. Clement Stone, who said, "Sales are contingent upon the attitude of the salesman, not the attitude of the prospect."
Yeah, that's powerful. I mean, think about it. At the end of the day, if you don't believe in your product, if you don't believe in your service, if you don't believe it has power, why would your prospect, right? If I came to you and said, "Yeah, you can buy this, it's kind of good, I think you can take it or leave it," you're going to say, "Well, heck, you sell this, you don't seem that high on it, why would I be," right? So, I definitely agree with that, right? It's your attitude, your belief dictates the tone, for sure. I'll say this, right? If you, as a salesperson in general, and just the idea in life, have this mentality, what comes from putting yourself out there? Tony, my contention is the only thing that comes from putting yourself out there is something good. If I go talk to that multi-million-dollar prospect, if I go try and close that, that $500,000 sale, the only thing that can happen if I put myself out there and try, Tony, is something good. Either I'm going to get that new client, I'm going to make that sale, I'm going to place that product, or I'm going to continue not to have the client I didn't have anyway, right? So either I'm going to get something good or I'm going to be in the same position that I'm in, right? So it's really all about, letting that ego go, letting that fear, letting that angst go, and realizing only something positive can come from me putting myself out there. Only something positive can come from me picking up the phone. Only something positive can come from me going tapping that guy on the shoulder and starting a conversation. Either I'm going to get something I didn't have, or I'm going to continue to have what I didn't have anyway.
Well said, well said. And your exuberance and enthusiasm for the subject just pours out very nicely. Very cool. All right. Quote number four from Aristotle, who said, "You are what you repeatedly do. Excellence is not an event. It is a habit."
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you have to embody success. I mean, because, right, I mean, people are following you. People want a shepherd, right? They don't want to follow sheep. They want to follow someone who believes in what they're doing, that has this tremendous idea and passion, right? And that it doesn't always end up good, right? There's cult leaders that take people down bad paths or dictators, right? They're taking people down bad paths, but the one trait they have in common is exuberance and passion and belief in what they do and what their messaging was, right? And you can see people will follow those types, to the end of the earth.
So very cool. Well said. All right. And drum roll, the fifth quote is from Napoleon Hill, who said, "If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way."
That's awesome. I think everyone on this planet, it was put here for a specific purpose and has value, whether it's, like you said, something, that someone would consider to be small or something on a tremendous, huge scale, right? I think it has value. I think anything that you're doing that impacts people's lives is good, right? And whether that touches five people's lives or a million people's lives, remains to be seen. But again, you never know. You never know what that one kind gesture, you never know what that one, piece of advice or that one product or that one service that you offered up that you thought, maybe was insignificant, how powerful that might be and what doors that might open, right? And so, I'm in complete agreement. Those are pretty smart guys that you read off. So you can't really refute their saying.
Yep, absolutely, and very insightful comments and quotes. Very cool. Thank you. Any selfie, is there anything you'd like to let the audience know about your business, what you do, how you can help them at your company? Anything you'd like to mention about that, please?
Yeah, so, you know, we have the Taylor Method, which is my coaching series. My planning practice is Taylor Insurance and Financial Services. You know, we're based out of Los Angeles, and I'm licensed in over 30 states, and so I'm all over the country working and doing seminars and helping clients, you know, with their, you know, insurance and investments and tax and estate planning needs. And again, the same principles that I use and I teach in the Taylor Method are the same things I built my practice in and on. And again, it's really just about genuine relationships with people and helping people, right? And, you know, we can be found there at Taylor, FIN.com. So that's Taylor, INS for insurance, FIN for financial.com. So that's Taylor, INSFIN.com. And so, again, I have this genuine heart to help people. People want to reach out to me. I can be reached at etaylor@thetaylormethod.com, etaylor@thetaylormethod.com. And, you know, love to help. I mean, I love this business. I love helping people. I love the impact that my work has, you know, on people's lives, and anything I could do to help enrich others and open doors and impact change, I'm always open for.
Very cool, and I hope you get a lot more business, and that audience members that would like to take advantage and find out more about making more money with their existing capital and getting your insurance and financial services. I hope that we have more people going and checking out TaylorINSFIN.com. And before we go, is there anything else that you'd like the audience to know? Anything else that comes to mind that you'd like to mention about getting better at finding your customers and closing them?
Yeah, I mean, depending on the industry that you're in, and obviously it's going to change, I think one of the things that was super powerful for me that I learned that I didn't do early on in my career is qualify your prospects, right? Understand, who am I talking to, and then do they have the ability to make purchase decisions, right, and act accordingly. And what I mean by that is, at least in my business, I realize that I'm going to make as much money as my clients make. If my clients are broken this paycheck to paycheck, I was going to be broken this paycheck to paycheck. If I dealt with, you know, $1 million client, I have the opportunity to make $1 million, because people congregate around those of a comparable socioeconomic level, right? So influencers hang out with influencers. You know, bad seeds hang out with bad seeds. So I would advise people that, just if you're not doing it already, surround yourself with the people who are doing what you want to do in life, right? And truthfully, for me in my career right now, I'm as humbled as I've ever been in that I'm seeking, typically right now, I seek to be the least accomplished guy in the room. I want to surround myself with people that have had success and achieved things that I have yet to, because that's how you learn, right? So I would tell the listeners, don't look to be comfortable. Constantly seek to be uncomfortable, because it's in those areas of discomfort, it's in those areas of angst where we grow and where we change, right? And so it's, so, you know, because when we stop growing and when we stop changing and when we stop learning and we think we know it all, or, you know, that we have it all done, you know, we atrophy, we die, right? And so what happens to muscles when you don't use them, right? Right? It's not working. And so, you know, and I'm not just talking in a physical sense, I'm talking about mentally and our will and the like. So that would be my advice to people, you know, surround yourself with, you know, with smart people, that with accomplished people. And because, again, have you ever heard someone who's made huge strides professionally or who's overcome the odds tell people not to try or not to put themselves out there? Never. All the naysayers in life are people who have either failed miserably or who've never even gotten off the bench. You never meet a leader in the industry. You never meet someone who's ultra successful who says, oh, don't try that. Don't put yourself out there. Go work for someone else. You know, let someone else guide you. Never happens, right? And so I think it's that level of inspiration and guidance that you can get from others, you know, that's powerful. J. Paul Getty was the first recorded billionaire in United States history. He came up with the wealth-building principle. stated simply, I'd rather earn 1% effort from 100 people than 100% of my own. So I'm all about collaboration and taking little tidbits and pieces from different people. And I think collectively with that power, with that 1% from 100 people, wow, look what we can accomplish, right? So that's what I want to leave the listeners with.
Awesome. And every person that I've ever interviewed and every successful person that I've ever met pretty much goes down that same path and says those insightful points that you've brought up. You don't get it if you don't try. The only way to get it is to get up, step up, get up, and go out and do it and keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. If you're going to succeed after 8 times, why stop after you failed 7? Just get up again, because that separates the successful person from the person that just becomes very comfortable and complacent and doesn't really have any claim to fame, doesn't have much to accomplish, doesn't really get anywhere. The only way is to go out and do it. And it comes from your essence, and you really speak it very, very well. And you have really shown that you've made it, you're making it, and you understand what success is all about, Iselfie. You've really got it, and it just comes out. And I hope that this is enough to inspire our readers and our listeners, excuse me, as well as readers, because you've got a book coming out. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But I hope that this really inspires people to get out there and do something. Set that goal. Work out that purpose. Get out there, because it's there. It's there for you to take. You'll never win if you don't get up and give it a try.
No, I agree. You cannot hit the game-winning shot, you know, if you're sitting on the bench, right? You got to be in the game. And, you know, people, there's always some excuses, right? I mean, you think about it, right? I've got my planning practice, you know, Taylor Insurance and Financial Services. I got the Taylor Method. I'm in the midst of writing not only one but two books. So you'll have Rise to the Top that will come out in the top of the year, you know, Q1, and I have a financial literacy business actually that I'm in the process of launching, will be next year as well, called Ask the Experts, where I'm bringing a collection of you know, financial advisors, attorneys, you know, CPAs, mortgage bankers, you know, credit specialists and the like, to put together a curriculum, I can't speak, for the consumer to basically just educate them on a variety of planning topics that your layperson, you know, needs to know to succeed, you know, in this world, but we're just not ever taught, right? And so by default, people either, you know, choose not to make any decisions or plan at all because they go, "That's too complicated, and I'm not going to touch it," or they make choices and make horrible mistakes because, you know, no one ever taught them. And this is near and dear to my heart because that's me, right? I mean, my father's a double PhD, right? You know, from West Africa, you know, first generation. My mom's from the South, grew up very, you know, modest means, right? So my parents instilled a tremendous work ethic and gave me a great education, but I didn't know anything about insurance and investments and planning and real estate before I got into this business, right? They told me save and work hard. Okay, what else, right? And so I like to say, again, I failed. I've made a lot of money in my life, and I've lost a lot of money, and I've done some good things, and I've made mistakes. And if I can take the chance and share that with people and say, these are the great mistakes and things that I've made and help you avoid them, then it was all worth it, right? And so, again, I say that to say I've got all these things going on and you know, own a restaurant and animation company and all these other things that I'm doing and 3 kids. And so so I venture to say, you can't tell me you don't have the time, because I don't know too many people that are busier than me, and I had to figure it out. So I made a promise to myself, Tony, when I graduated college and I started my career and in life, I said, I never want to look back at life and say, what if? I don't want to be 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old and say, what if I'd have tried this? What if I'd have said this? What if I'd have, you know, given it a chance? No. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that I do is going to work out, but at least I know, right? If I don't make it to the top in this life, Tony, it won't be for a lack of effort.
Well said. Awesome. Beautiful. Beautiful words indeed. Well, thank you very much on that, Iselfie. And please stay in touch about your book, Rise to the Top, that's coming out hopefully early next year. I've got a great interest in it. I love the title. I love your success. It's been awesome. I want to thank you very much for joining us on Revenue Chat. It's been quite a pleasure to have you on this show. I loved it. Thank you.
Likewise, the pleasure is all mine. I appreciate you having me as a guest, and I hope the listeners got a lot out of it. Again, I'm here as a resource if anybody needs me, and very much look forward to continuing the relationship with you and keeping you posted on events and things going forward. So I appreciate your time, Tony. Thank you.
Very good. Again, everyone, the websites for the sales training is thetaylormethod.com. And to find out more about his insurance and financial is taylorinsfin.com. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you again, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Clyde Riddlesbrood, founder and owner of the Riddlesbrood Touring Theater Company, who says, "Laugh justifies the means." His big dream was to build a large theater company, and he did that. Clyde has performed in over 5,000 theater shows in his lifetime and is one of the most successful in New York and New Jersey. He will regale you with entertaining tricks and lessons to help your company branding, the use of storytelling to build your business, and give you great public speaking tips, all from a master at captivating audience attention. Get that and more on the next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. All right, until next time, and remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.